Off the ball.
But when I got to Liverpool, I thought, right, I've bought myself a nice Aston Martin. I pulled up on the lights alongside Roy Keane, of all people, and I had the shades on. I think I was listening to some Speed Garage. My arm was out the window. You know, I was having myself. And then Roy gave me that look that he's given many a people in his time. And as he sped off into the distance, I was sitting in this car, looked at myself in the mirror and thought, I need to get rid of this.
Off the ball.
Weeknights from 7 and weekends from 1. This is OTB Sports Radio. The Off the Ball Podcast Network.
The Paddy Power Half Hour
on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
You're very welcome into this Friday's edition of the Paddy Power Half Hour. Coming up over the next half an hour or so, the Bundesliga and football itself is back in the top European football leagues, with the German league resuming last weekend. We will be asking the question of both Endicall and Philip Egan: is some football, even in an unusual format, better than no football? Premier League teams back resuming training this week as well. Some players, including Troy Deeney and N'Golo Kante, not taking part due to safety concerns. And we've also had an update on what might be happening with leagues across Europe as well. Philip Egan and Enda Caller here with myself, Will O'Callaghan, this Friday afternoon. Gentlemen, good afternoon to you.
Well, how are you doing?
We'll start off with the Bundesliga, Phil, because I think a lot of people were glued to BT Sport. They reported figures that were comparable to their Premier League coverage for last weekend. I'm sure a certain amount of that was intrigue and people starved of live football over the last few weeks. But what did you make of weekend one of the Bundesliga back behind closed doors?
Well, it was good to have live football back and just actually sitting down to watch a game without knowing the outcome, because I think we're all watching classic games at this stage. And as much as it's nice to look back, it's actually nice to be able to sit down and watch a game where you don't know the outcome. Obviously, Dortmund are one of the most exciting teams in Europe. So, you know, we got good value there watching them. In terms of the empty stadiums, yeah, a little bit strange. I kind of found maybe just taking the volume down a few notches on the TV worked for me. And once I kind of got that out of my head, I was just watching the football as normal. And I would watch Bundesliga when I can, so it wasn't new to me. Some people probably turned it on and thought, this isn't for me, I watch other leagues. I'm not sure about the Bundesliga, but the Bundesliga is one of the better leagues to watch. It's attacking, plenty of goals, and you know, you got your 4 goals in that game, that first game that we got to see.
And to call it, wasn't a very competitive affair between Borussia Dortmund and Schalke 04. It ended up 0-0, but in Borussia Dortmund's favour in the end. And Erling Haaland once again continuing his scoring run despite a 10-week break. He has 11 goals now in his last 9 games in all competitions.
Yeah, and it was a very interesting weekend of football. I agree with Phil. It was just nice watching a game that actually mattered and we didn't know what it was. I thought it was interesting because Jurgen Klopp kind of referenced that during the week that if you think about this, it's going to be sort of like a pre-season where teams don't really know where they are, and in 5-10 minutes of that game, it was kind of similar like that for Borussia Dortmund. Especially, they were quite sloppy with the ball. Julian Brandt was giving the ball away quite a bit. He went on to have quite a good game, and Schalke actually looked like the team that were going to take the lead at the start, but Borussia Dortmund just went on to dominate it. And the first goal from Erling Haaland was a really, really nice finish. And for a 19-year-old, he's just wise beyond his years and so clinical in front of goals. It's going to be really good to watch him over the next couple of weeks. What struck me, though, was the amount of people talking about Haaland, if it wasn't that great. And there's still this niggling feeling from people that the Premier League is still the best league in the world and nobody wants to watch football, and some people don't want to watch football behind closed doors. But the feeling I came away with from this weekend was that football without the fans is not perfect, but it's better than no football at all.
Well, and ultimately, football without fans might pave the way for fans having football to come back to next year. You know, all kind of estimates are it'll probably be 2021 before we're looking at mass gatherings back in stadiums again. If we don't have behind closed doors football, and say if there was no football until then, you can imagine the financial pressures that will be put back onto clubs if that was to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, we've spoken about it intensively on this show over the last couple of weeks about the difficulty it is to get this season up and running again. And it's looking like the Premier League might be back at the next month, which is going to be nice, a nice bonus for fans as well. But it really is something positive having something on TV to watch that isn't Netflix, that actually matters. There's something on the line. And I have to admit, I had a little bit of a gamble on the weekend's football, even though there was it was kind of up in the air of how the teams were going to play, and it actually did make it quite interesting. I was as invested in those games across the Bundesliga this weekend as I would have been in many of the games in the Premier League over the last season or so. So without fans, again, it's not the same as it was, but nothing's the same as it was anymore. So it's nice to have it back. And really and truly, Borussia Dortmund are the team to watch now, because we spoke about how maybe Borussia Dortmund, if they take their foot off the gas, if they're sloppy, if they're a bit rusty going into this game, that they could drop points and fall further behind Bayern Munich. But it was good that Dortmund came out with this big victory in the derby, and now serious pressure, and there's something really riding on this Bundesliga title.
Yeah, our football coverage here on Off the Ball, with thanks to Paddy Power. For information on responsible gambling, check out dunluie.net. In terms of what happened on the field with the major results from this weekend, we already mentioned Borussia Dortmund getting that 4-0 victory against their rival Schalke. That temporarily brought them back within 1 point of the leaders Bayern Munich, but Munich had a 2-0 victory away to Union Berlin on Sunday to restore their 4-point lead at the summit. Perhaps the surprise of the weekend was Leipzig again slipping up. They've had three draws in a row now either side of the break. They were held to a draw by Freiburg, which allowed Bayer Leverkusen to close the gap on the top four after their 4-1 win on the Monday Night Football away to Werder Bremen. And Mönchengladbach had a win against Frankfurt on Saturday as well, which means that they have now moved up to third place, with RB Leipzig now down to fourth. So when we look at that title race, Phil, you know, realistically Bayern Munich still have everything in their own hands. And at this stage, Borussia Dortmund are looking like the only likely challengers.
Yeah, well, it's all set up nicely for next Tuesday's game between Dortmund and Bayern. But before that, obviously, Dortmund go to Wolfsburg. Bayern have a home game against Eintracht Frankfurt. Now, on paper, it looks like Dortmund have the tougher assignment. Wolfsburg, you know, into the last 16 of the Europa League, decent enough team. So Dortmund obviously just need to get the points there and set it all up for Tuesday. You look at the table, obviously Bayern have a 4-point lead over Dortmund, and you're looking at Mönchengladbach are two behind Dortmund. They're six behind Bayern Munich. Leipzig are seven behind Bayern. But Leipzig and Mönchengladbach might be thinking Dortmund could do us a favour next week and beat Bayern, and we could actually close the gap in Bayern. I still think it is between Bayern and Dortmund, and obviously Bayern are the favourites. They have a 4-point advantage. Dortmund obviously have to play Bayern, and they still have to play Leipzig as well. So Bayern have a bit of an easier run, and it's hard to look past them given the fact that they have their players back now. Lewandowski is back. Kingsley Coman, Ivan Perisic, they're all back. I think as well, watching the game, if anyone forgot how quick Davis is, there was one stage during the game in the first half, I think it was, where he showed his recovery pace. Obviously not traditionally a left back, but he gave the attacker maybe 5-6 yard head start, just went by him, caught up with him as if he was on a motorbike.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big decision that Munich made when they decided to put the Canadian in at left back, because now, you know, David Alaba, Phil, might look a little bit surplus to requirements. But one man who doesn't look surplus to requirements is Manuel Neuer. Despite all of the speculation in recent months that Bayern might look to replace him with a younger goalkeeper, Neuer is staying for a few more seasons with Bayern Munich after that new deal that he penned earlier this week.
Yeah, and obviously it's been strange for Neuer because of the injury that he had, and you know, there has been speculation. There's been calls even with his place in the German team. A lot of people think Ter Stegen is a better keeper than him now. But, you know, Neuer's been there for years now for Bayern. The odd time he gets a bit ahead of himself where he thinks he's a midfielder and not necessarily something he should be doing. But it's a good decision from Bayern. And you look at some of their senior players, even Thomas Müller impressed. You know, he looks like he's kind of come back into form. So, you know, all the indications are there that Bayern are obviously going to win this title. But it'll be interesting to see when the Champions League resumes, can they get over the line on that one?
And in terms of social distancing, we saw, you know, very careful observation. We spoke last week about, you know, the Freiburg manager. He goes out to get a tube of toothpaste, goes back to the hotel. He admits this and ends up having to go back into a 14-day cycle. The Germans have been very serious about this all the way along. We saw at the matches at the weekend a lot of face masks being worn, absolute minimum amount of people inside the stadiums. But Hertha Berlin have come under a little bit of criticism for their celebrations, where there was hugging, where there was kissing, and it was a stark contrast to many of the other celebrations across the Bundesliga at the weekend. I think of Haaland's celebration being done with complete social distancing, but Hertha Berlin did not observe that when they scored at the weekend.
Yeah, look, it was never going to be perfect first weekend out. Germany are the first nation or first league to actually try this out, so it's never going to go fully to plan. I thought they tried their best in a very difficult situation. Obviously, the world's eyes were on this league and seeing how it was done. But I mean, when you look at the Hertha Berlin celebrations, I think you're being a bit harsh if you're criticizing them for it. And I mean, if you look at some of the celebrations across the league from the weekend, it's like you had the whole elbow to elbow celebration. But I mean, does it matter if you're on the pitch rubbing up against players and getting tackled by players from other opposition? I'm not sure where that comes into celebrating with your own players who have also been tested. So it's a bit of a muddle for the situation in the Bundesliga. It's hard for the players. They don't really know what to do. So I wouldn't be overly critical on them for celebrating, because at the end of the day, they're on the pitch, 22 other very sweaty men who are rubbing up against them in tackles. So it's really hard to know what is allowed and what's not allowed and what's going to make a difference overall.
And before we move on and talk about the other leagues coming back, I mean, as you say, Germany was seen as a beacon, all eyes really on them last Saturday, could have huge implications for the other leagues in Europe. We probably will have to wait for another week to see what testing is going to be like on everybody ahead of the weekend coming. But the feeling seems to be that everything went off pretty well in Germany last weekend. I would imagine the other leagues around Europe who are looking to return will probably have been happy to see how it was run off.
Yeah, I would say so. It kind of went off without a hitch in terms of the football side of things. Again, we will have to wait and see to see if the any more players have tested positive. But again, you don't really know if they're testing positive because of the game or if they're testing positive because of something else. So it's really difficult to tell at this point in time. I would say the league itself will be delighted with the fact that they got their testing done out of the way, and that their testing kind of falls in and around the region of where the Bundesliga were for the government to grant permission for the league to come back. So I would say the Premier League are probably happiest after the Bundesliga first week. But again, yeah, we do have to wait until next week to see if there's any lasting impact from that first week.
Phil Egan, Premier League clubs return to training after their meeting on Monday. We've seen the images of the players back in, taking part in kind of small group training. We get the feeling at this stage that we are definitely moving towards the Premier League getting back underway. Is that the feeling you have as well?
Yeah, well, obviously the Bundesliga is the first one back, and you think when they started resuming in small groups of non-contact training with social distancing measures in place, so the groups of five, pretty much took them 5 weeks to get from that stage to the restart of the league. So if the Premier League follow that, you're looking at kind of 19th of June. And, you know, we'd probably be looking similar enough. I think Italy and Spain are looking around mid-June as well. I know Italy have come out and basically extended the finish date of the season just in case there's an issue with a second wave. So they've pretty much put the 20th of August to say, if there's a second wave, we still have time on our side, because obviously a lot of leagues are hoping to get finished by the end of July, but they're trying to take a little bit of the pressure off. Don't really know how it's all going to impact what happens to the Europa League and the Champions League, but I suppose the different federations around Europe are just trying to get their own leagues sorted. But it certainly looks like we're getting to the stage where we're going to have those four major leagues all back underway by, say, mid to late June.
And as well, Jurgen Klopp has been talking about not just this season, but next season as well. And he's kind of been warning his players that there's a reasonable chance if the Premier League gets back underway, say, in late June, it might get completed at some point in, say, late July or early August. They might well have to turn around pretty quickly and get ready for season 2021.
Yeah, but I mean, they had the last 2 months off, so technically they shouldn't really be complaining about being tired or whatever, because they've had a break finally in the season. I mean, it seemed a lifetime ago we were complaining about the build-up of fixtures and how Liverpool's crazy fixture list has led to a couple of injuries, but they've had a couple of months off. It's probably more than they would have needed off. I know they didn't take that on purpose, or it wasn't really something that they could have controlled, but again, you're getting your rest, so they probably should be ready to do that. I would like to see what Roberto Firmino is going to do in terms of his hair. I don't know if anybody saw it, but he was looking very Lionel Richie when he was photographed in training. He took an opposite stance to Serge Aurier, who broke lockdown for a third time, this time to get a haircut. So there's obviously going to be some controversy around the burn, and there's going to be players who break lockdown like there were in Germany. And the Tottenham team are front runners at the minute to be the team that break lockdown most times.
Yeah, Firmino has that kind of mini fro going on at the moment. He doesn't have his usual stylish haircut, Phil Egan, but...
Ross Geller. Old school Ross Geller from France, I think. Like college days.
Obviously, look, there's going to be a lot of condemnation of Serge Aurier for his decision, though. Like, this is a guy who's already been in trouble twice. He's got caught out for going out for a run. And then stupidly, he posts on his own social media with his barber after getting a haircut in the same kit that he wears to go to training just a few hours later. There really has to be an IQ test, doesn't there?
Well, look, if you look at Serge Aurier as a player, when he's on the pitch, he does things that are erratic. And he's one of those players you label as having a mistake in him. So that hasn't changed off the pitch. Look, I know all eyes are on, but if all eyes are on you because people are looking for excuses not to get this season back underway, you know, obviously there's been a lot made that is football really that important that it should be resuming. So you think that you would try and just keep the head down and, you know, I mean, you're probably asking the wrong person about the need for haircuts, but, you know, he was out running. Jordan Ibe, obviously, same problem as well, where he was getting a haircut as well. I'm sure plenty of footballers are going to show up in the next few weeks with lovely groomed haircuts. So you'd be wondering how they got them done. Are all Premier League footballers really talented hairdressers as well, or barbers? Probably not. But if you're going to do it, at least don't post about it.
Yeah, like I went at mine with a bit of scissors just to kind of cut it down. Endicall, you went...
Looks good, yeah.
You went razor, didn't you?
I went beard trimmer because I didn't actually have a hair razor in the house. So I went for the dramatic look.
You did. Look, it doesn't look too bad. And to tell me as well, players have... some of them have skipped training this week with safety concerns in mind. N'Golo Kante has mentioned the fact that, you know, his brother passed away at a young age. He went training originally on Tuesday, but then missed Chelsea training on Wednesday. And he says it's because he was worried about the current safety conditions. Troy Deeney's been quite outspoken ahead of not going to training as well. And like Jurgen Klopp said, he would understand if any of his players came to him and said, look, I feel uneasy about going to the training ground at the moment. We're probably going to see a little bit of this over the next few weeks, aren't we?
Well, we mentioned it a few weeks ago. Pat Nevin was the first one to say it on the football show with us that we may not see every player participating in this because they may not want to. And it's, at the end of the day, that's up to them. You're not allowed to be forced to work in an unsafe environment. If you feel the environment is unsafe, then don't do it. And I think Troy Deeney was spot on. He has a relation that is... he's very, very, he's in the risk zone. So he's spot on with what he's saying. If he feels that he's going to put their lives at risk for playing football, then that what's the point? He said that he came from a poor background. If he has to lose money, if he has to give up some money and go back to being poor, he'd rather do that and his family live. So where Troy Deeney is coming, you have to understand it. Many football fans won't understand that they will be angry if some of their star players don't turn up. The day, that's their choice, and you can't really take it away from them.
Interesting as well that we had a bit of backlash to Deeney, also to his manager Nigel Pearson last weekend, and complaints that it's, you know, teams around the bottom of the table, Phil, who are complaining about, you know, potentially the league not getting back underway, that they'll say, look, we'll find a way to take the league down. It is interesting, though, that a lot of these discussions have been taking place on Sky Sports and on the BBC, where there are vested interests on both sides. I mean, for some clubs, I'm sure they'd be more than happy for a line to be drawn and perhaps average points or weighted points be used to decide what happens with the rest of the season. But the broadcasters similarly have a vested interest to try and get this back underway.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody in a situation where they can take the moral high ground. And, yeah, obviously... we heard from the Norwich sporting director during the week about how if the Premier League resumes and they get relegated, fair enough. But he didn't see how it would be fair that they get replaced by Leeds or West Brom if the Championship doesn't resume. And then Glenn Murray, the Brighton striker, said something along similar lines as well. So you can understand where they're coming from. And that's why I suppose the leagues are so determined to get these campaigns finished, so it takes out all the maybe the legal implications. And we don't really know what's going to happen in Scotland, for example. Celtic were deserving champions. I don't think anyone is going to argue, even the most optimistic Rangers fan, that Celtic weren't going to win the league. If anything, they probably would have won it by more points than they were clear. But a club like Hearts, who obviously were relegated on the points per game method, their form before the lockdown was starting to improve, because Stendhal had obviously come in and there's a few iffy results, but they'd started defensively, they were looking a bit tighter and they were starting to get a few results. So they could argue that they could have actually stayed up.
Yeah, it's an interesting one in terms of what happens in Scotland, because this could well end up in the courts yet, particularly given how determined Rangers have been to ask questions about the SPFL. And I get the feeling Hearts aren't going to go down easy on this one either, because there was still a couple of months left in the season. 4 points was, you know, a very achievable target to potentially turn over in that time, and the amount of games that were left as well. And there seems to be a real kind of breakdown in Scotland among the clubs as to what has happened in the last week.
Yeah, the SPFL in itself has just been a complete mess overall, the way that they've dealt with it. I think now with the other leagues coming back, that's going to add fuel to the fire again. The fact that Scotland jumped the gun a little bit, and the fact that you had a bit of a mix-up with the vote and the Dundee situation, it was a whole host of bad decisions made in Scotland, and maybe they jumped the gun a little bit when they were making that decision. But at the end of the day, the best way I've heard this described, and it's from a former manager, Ali McCoist, is there is an asterisk beside this title for Celtic. That's not to say that it's tainted. That's just to say that there is extenuating circumstances that led to them being the champions of Scotland. They were absolutely going to win this league anyway. They're 13 points ahead. They were in form. Rangers were off form. Rangers will fight this to the bitter end. At the end of the day, I think it's going to end with the same outcome. Celtic are going to be champions because they were going to be champions anyway. But there will be an asterisk on this title to say that they were awarded the title because of the COVID situation. It's the easiest way of going about it.
Yeah, and Rangers seem determined they're going to get Neil Doncaster's head by the end of this summer. Phil, West Ham, interestingly, we've seen Karen Brady kind of change her position slowly. And some people have suggested now that maybe why West Ham are so determined to get the season finished is one of the potential methods for the Premier League to finish things out, if the games don't get back underway, would be a weighted points per game. If that were to happen, West Ham would be relegated. So it's now in West Ham's interest to make sure the games get back on the pitch.
Yeah, and Karen Brady obviously has her newspaper column, and she's one of the first to speak out about the season. Best thing to do was void it. And straight away, people thought what she was trying to do was just make sure West Ham didn't get relegated. And, you know, you can see why people would be thinking all of a sudden, if there's a chance West Ham get relegated by a points per game weighted system, then they've changed their tune. So I said, it doesn't really appear that anyone can say anything without somebody pointing the finger at them for different reasons. Like, say, Jurgen Klopp has said, we're not putting that pressure on any players to return to training. Now, if you're a Liverpool player, why would you not want to return to training? You're about to win the league. And then players down at the bottom end that say, oh, I don't know if we should go back. Of course, people are going to think, well, you don't want to go back because you just want the season to be cancelled, and then you stay up and you're a Premier League player again. So it seems that nobody can do anything right. There's going to be something. There's always an issue with something. But I still feel, sitting here today, that the Premier League is going to resume.
And Nicole, there are going to be some teams who are going to benefit from this situation with the break as well. Sun Heung-min has now completed his 3 weeks of military training in South Korea, which means that he now will never have to do that again, which is a benefit for Spurs in the longer term. But also, he's back from his broken arm. We've got Harry Kane back from that long break that he had with a hamstring injury as well. Spurs, if they were to play the fixtures that they're going to have to play when the season gets back underway in June, would look a very different team to what they would have been in late March and early April.
Yeah, and I think back to one of the games before this all started, it was a Tottenham match, and they got well beaten. I can't remember who it was against, but Mourinho came out after the game and said, we had nobody up top, we had no options in midfield, and basically their team was destroyed with injuries. So Tottenham will definitely benefit from the break. Man United will also benefit because you're looking at the likes of Paul Pogba potentially returning. Marcus Rashford, not really sure where he is, but he probably could be returning fairly shortly. He was supposed to be out for 2 months, so he should be very close to returning as well. So Man United, who are in good form with their top striker coming back onto the pitch, and their midfielder who has been, I don't know, how do you put it, a bit inconsistent. He's been out for quite a bit. So it'll be interesting to see where they're at as well, and if they can maintain the momentum they had before the break. And then you're looking at the teams at the bottom of the table as well. The likes of Brighton had quite a few injuries before the break as well. So if they can get their players back, Bournemouth were missing 8 or 9 key players as well. So if they can get back, Bournemouth might be a little bit safer than they were before the break, and Brighton be able to fight for their way to stay in the Premier League as well.
And Phil, we don't know what's going to happen with the Champions League. Will it get back underway in August? But what we do know is that Eden Hazard, Luis Suarez, Robin Lewandowski, Ousmane Dembele, some of the big players at the really big big teams in Europe are now going to be back for the Champions League when it returns as well, which changes the composition of what we were looking at going into the last 16 before this.
Yeah, even, say, you mentioned Hazard. If Hazard could get back up to speed, like, the general feeling from Hazard was that if the Euros had gone ahead, he was going to be fit for it. But now it looks like he'd be in an even better position. You think back to the first leg of the Real Madrid-Man City game. City obviously are in the driving seat, but somebody like Hazard might make the difference where they could actually turn it around. We don't even know where that game will be played. Some games, some ties now might be only played over one game, which will make things interesting. But it's, I think at the moment you're looking at just getting all the domestic leagues finished and then see what happens with the Champions League. But certainly Barcelona will be happy to have those couple of players back, because obviously Barca and Real Madrid are neck and neck in that title race.
Just before I let you both go, Phil, give us a prediction for the big game which is coming up before we speak next. You've got Bayern against Borussia Dortmund next week.
Ooh, I think I'd still go with Bayern.
Okay, probably wraps up the title race if they go 7 points clear. End of call, what's going to happen?
I thought Bayern were actually quite slow and laboured against many parts of the game. Lewandowski actually looked quite good as well, though he's back from injury, so he would probably give Bayern the advantage going into this game. But it's going to be tight. I would fancy Dortmund to be a little bit quicker and a little bit more aggressive in this game. Hakimi down the right wing as well for them, so if he can get on the ball like he did against Schalke, then it's going to be a very tight game.
Okay, that's the big game in Europe next Tuesday night. Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund. Big game in the title race in the Bundesliga. Many thanks to Philip Egan and to Enda Call for joining me on the Paddy Power Half Hour here on Off the Ball. Keep tuned to all of our football coverage across the week. If you want to watch us back, you can do so on our social media channels. And you can also listen back to the podcast on OTB Sports Radio or also on the offtheball.com site as well. Thanks for watching.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.